We give honor and praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this morning. For he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. I come greeting you all in the name of Jesus. Grateful and thankful unto the Lord that he allowed us another day. We thank God for, you know, letting us be here in his presence to be able to minister and to share in the enthusiasm of knowing that our Lord and Savior still lives. Amen. And having that and knowing that brings forth a tremendous amount of joy, peace, and hope. I come this morning without my son and granddaughter. I think they have heard enough of me preaching. They decided that they rather spend time with their sister than to come to church with me and hear me preach. Can you believe that? But thank God, my wife, amen, there she is, she said, you know what, I can't have my husband come out 2 weeks in a row without me being there. So I'm grateful unto her that she would, you know, want to be with me. Amen. So I hope it's okay. I had asked her to come and read the scripture for me. Is that all right, everybody?
Yes.
That's good? So come on up if you don't mind.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
All right. I will be reading from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Again, that is Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. I'll give you some time to get there. If we're all there, can you please stand for the reading of God's word? Please. All right. Acts reads, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelote, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. And the word of God has been read and is blessed.
Yeah. That's it.
Amen.
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 You look like you wanted me to do some more, right?
She thought I was telling her to start preaching. That's what that means. Oh, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I'm sorry. Here I am. I'm trying to tell these jokes up here. Anyway, so we thank the Lord for the reading of his word. And we thank you for allowing me to come back. Amen. Thank you for the invitation that you would allow me to come back 2 weeks in a row. 3 weeks within the month. Praise God. So, during this time, the last Sunday of 2020, man, what a year, right? It's been devastating. It's been very difficult this year, 2020. It's been hard. All types of things. We had to change all types of stuff. Our lives on a day-to-day basis has completely been turned around. Some of us are still working. Some of us aren't because of this pandemic. Schools have been shut down, and some of us had to become not just parents, but also teachers to our children. Whew. You know, they changed math a little bit since last time we were in school. Right? It's been difficult, 2020. I remember coming to the end of 2019, 2020, the year of double vision. Amen. You know, and all this good stuff we were talking about, and then all of a sudden, the Lord came through and allowed this to happen to us. So, I just want to share with you this morning that even though it may have been a tough year for some of us, for all of us, I want to say, we still have hope. So I want to bring you to my focus verse out of this scripture that my lovely wife had read, which is verse 14, which reads, "These all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." And for a subject or a theme, I would like to present to you this morning, keep hope alive. Keep hope alive. During these times of uncertainty, uncomfortability, and the appearance of unmanageability, we must keep hope alive. Hope. In the Greek, I believe it's pronounced elpis. Elpis. Which means the expectation of something sure or certain. The expectation of something sure or certain. For us as believers, it's always from God in what he has spoken. See, as believers, our hope has to be in what the Lord himself has spoken to us. As believers, we have to understand that sometimes things may happen here in this world, but we can't put our hope in the things of this world.
That's right.
Our hope has to be in his word. hope is derived from faith. The word faith in the Greek is pistis. We build our hope from our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. When we build hope coming from this foundation of faith, we can then stand in the midst of adversity, in the midst of pain and sorrow, and say, this too is going to work for my good. You know why we know that? Because the Word of God tells us that all things work together for the good of those who love God, the called according to His purpose. See, when we start to understand that our hope is in our faith in the Lord Jesus, and everything that God has said, that should change our perspective within the here and now. I know what I'm saying and what I'm attempting to get come across to you on this morning may be difficult to understand or perceive, especially when we start to see evidence that will eat at our faith. I'm talking about things that come to steal, kill, and destroy. Are you still with me? Amen. When these things come up in our lives, if we're not careful, these things can eat at our faith. It can eat at our hope. After we witness and see what is going on, we begin to sometimes doubt His word. Can I get a witness? Has there anyone had a situation in their lives where it doesn't seem so impossible, it seems so overwhelming that you kind of doubted what God says? I know I'm not the only one in here that can understand that sometimes circumstances come up in our lives and sometimes will blindside us because we didn't see that coming. Can anyone understand what I'm trying to say? I'm talking about dealing with life on life's terms, and then all of a sudden, there that thing comes. You didn't see it coming. It hit you so hard, it knocked the wind out of you. It may have even brought you down to your knees. But as believers, that's not a bad place to be. But we're going to get back to the message here. We're talking about keeping hope alive. You have to remember who you are in Christ.
That's right.
When we're looking at this passage of Scripture, we see the writer here in Luke, or Acts chapter 1, who is Luke. And he starts off saying that I am writing again because I already written something before. He was also the writer of the gospel according to Luke. And in this passage of Scripture, he says, remember what the Lord has already done. And I think it's important for us just to pause for a moment, if we could, if that's all right with everybody. It's just a pause already of what the Lord Jesus has already done. At this point, Jesus himself made wine out of water. Jesus himself was able to raise Lazarus out of the grave by calling to Lazarus and telling him to come forth. You remember Jesus was on the boat with his disciples and there was a huge storm that was going on and the disciples didn't know what to do and Jesus was down in the bottom of the boat and they came to God and Jesus just said a word, peace. Be still. The Bible says that after he said these words, the storm began to calm. And they were amazed by him. So what manner of man could speak to the winds that would calm them? We can't forget about what Jesus did. Jesus has, at this point, he had already fed the multitude with a few fish and a couple loaves of bread. This Jesus had healed and delivered many people who were plagued with leprosy. This Jesus I'm talking about has done miracles, signs, and wonders.
Right.
In case you didn't know, he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. If we could just focus a little bit about what Jesus has already did. I'm talking way back when Luke was writing this book in Acts.
the miracles, the signs, and the wonders that he performed before the people to prove the fact that he was the Messiah. And because of the power of God that rested in his life, the Bible says that if we would just release faith to believe Jesus as the Son of God, that same power is given to us. I want to encourage you here on this day. I want to encourage you that no matter what you are going through, no matter how difficult things may appear to be, you have hope. You have to tap into that hope though. You gotta keep that hope alive. As we're reading through this, we see here that Luke is writing. And as he's writing to, in this book of Acts, the Bible says that as he's writing to us here today, that the Father had made some promises to us. And that one of the promises here in this verse is that he told them to go, not to leave Jerusalem, and to come together and to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he will fall upon them and they will have power. That same power that they received on that day of Pentecost has also been given to you and I. That same power that God has given them, he gives to us. This same power gives us the ability to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That same power that's been given to us gives us the opportunity to continue to walk by faith and to ignore what we see. This same power given by God to us gives us the ability to do things that we never thought we were able to do. Like celebrate 2021 as seeing God redeeming us out of darkness. I'm talking about the power that's given through the Holy Spirit to us gives us the ability to overcome our fears, gives us the ability to overcome our doubts, gives us the ability to walk as Peter walked. You know the Bible says up to this point that Jesus was out on the water. And when he was out on the water, the disciples seen him walking on the waters. Peter said, "Lord, is that you?" And Jesus responded to Peter, "Yeah, it's me." He says, "If that's you, Lord, bid me to come." The Bible says that Jesus called this same way he's calling us here today to step out on faith and do some things which he never did before. The Bible declares that Peter began to walk on water. The physical mind can't comprehend a thing because it doesn't make any sense. It defies the laws of nature and gravity. But because Jesus spoke it, Peter had the ability to do what Jesus asked him to do. He had the ability to rise up above his circumstance and to continue to focus on the Lord and Savior and take one step at a time and made his way to Jesus. But we learn a huge, huge lesson out of this passage of scripture. Because the Bible says that as soon as Peter took his focus off of Jesus, he began to sink. So I want to encourage you here today as you leave, get ready to leave 2020 and to continue to press on into 2021 to keep your eyes and your focus upon Jesus. No matter what is going on in your life, you gotta keep your hope alive by continuing to have faith in Jesus and believing his word. You gotta keep your focus on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. No matter what's going on around you, keep your focus upon him. You see, the Lord is awesome. The Bible says that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Scripture says that He will stick closer than any brother. And with that blessed assurance that we have, we can continue to walk with our heads up in the midst of confusion and chaos. With that blessed assurance, we don't have to run away in doubt and fear. And we can say that if the Lord had brought me to it, He can bring me through it. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to get across to you here on this morning. But our Lord and Savior is good. He's merciful. He has been everything to us. And if we would just stay close to Him, bring it back to this book of Acts and Luke's writing. Like, I can understand the disciples who were all with Jesus in His 3 years of ministry. I can understand the love and compassion that they had for Him while He was ministering. I can understand that their leader and their Lord has become everything to them. But one thing that I see too, which I can identify with, as the Lord told them that they're going to come and get me and I'm going to be crucified. See, the Bible tells us clearly that in these circumstances, there was some pain that was derived from the apostles. The Bible says that while Jesus was getting caught up by the Roman soldiers, as He was getting beaten, as He was getting the crown of thorns on His head, as He was getting murdered and crucified, the very ones that stood close to Him all scattered. I can understand this man that I've been walking with for a long period of time going through this trauma and this crime, and I can understand apprehension and fear after witnessing this thing. I can understand them all scattering and leaving and being filled with this fear. Jesus had to go to the cross for you and I. He had to go to the cross. For God so loved the Lord that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For those of us who believe, Him going to the cross gave us opportunity to have life and life more abundantly. See, Jesus had to die that we now can live. I can understand the apostles, the disciples, feeling nervous and fearful because their Lord, their Savior, their leader, their teacher is now gone. I can understand the doubt, maybe some uncertainty. What does that tell us today? That tells us as believers in the Lord Jesus, we too may have these emotions. We too may have these feelings, but we have a hope.
That's right.
We have an assurance.
That's right.
Don't you remember after the third day Jesus was dead, that He got up with all power in His hand?
That's right.
He was able to defeat death and the grave. He was able to rise in victory. And then He presented Himself to the disciples and showed Himself to be the Messiah. He showed Himself to be all powerful. He showed Himself to defeat all doubt and fear. Has Jesus showed Himself to you? Have you been able to see the power of God through the resurrection of Christ Jesus?
Yes, I have.
The Bible says that He is the resurrection and in the life. He is everything that we need to become successful. If He has revealed Himself to you, you too are a witness of His glory.
Yes, I am.
You too have the power of God because of your faith in Christ Jesus. Because you witnessed and seen what he was able to do. I know I was talking about Jesus and the disciples, but you in your personal walk with him, have you been able to see him do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ask or imagine or think? Have you able to see the glory of God in your own personal life? Have you seen him do miracles, signs, and wonders? See, like the disciples, you too have a point of reference. You have a point to go back to and say, if he was able to do it for me then, I know that he can do it now. Does anyone here know that he know that you know that you know that he's able? Do you know that you know that you know that he's able?
I know that he's able.
In spite of the COVID, in spite of what's going on, in spite of the politicians and the problems in the schools, do you know that your God is able?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Don't give up your hope. Don't give it up. Don't allow the circumstances of this world and your life deter you, distract you, and keep you in a place of limited faith and power. Know that the Lord, he is not gone. He is still here. He is still with you. Do you believe it today?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe the Lord Jesus is still with you?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe that he's going to take care of you?
Yes, I do.
No matter what comes your way?
Do
you believe that he's not going to, he's not a deadbeat dad and he's going to leave you forsaken? Do you believe that?
Yes, I do.
What I love about the Bible, as we have a point of reference, I'm going to share some scriptures with you, just to make sure, just to reinforce a little bit what I'm talking about here. It says here in Psalms 49, verse 15, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Excuse me. The power of God that brought Jesus up from the dead, that power that was exhibited while he was in the grave, this power also was given to you so that you can be received to the Father. It says here in Isaiah 25 and 8, he shall swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears off all faces.
Uh-huh.
And the rebuke of his people shall be taken away from all of the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. So he's going to wipe away every tear that you may shed.
Thank you,
Jesus. It says here, he will rebuke his people. He will, his people who have been rebuked, he will take care of them because why? He has spoken it. It says here in Ezekiel chapter 37, 11 and 12. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Then he tells Ezekiel, therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and bring you into a land of Israel. I share that with you. Is the situation looked like it was hopeless. Dried bones. But the Lord himself was able to bring back things together. And it says here that he was able to bring them, even though the situation looked distressing, he was able to bring them into a land of Israel, which we can equate to a promised land. The Lord your God is able to reach you no matter where you may be. He is able to outstretch his arm and to touch you right where you are and bring you into a land flowing with milk and honey. It's not time to throw in the towel. It's not time to quit. Right now, we as a body of believers have to exercise our faith like never before. We got to continue pressing into the high calling in Christ Jesus and believe that this situation that we're going through is going to derive and it's going to make us stronger because of He and Him being with us. It's very important for us to keep hope alive. It's very important for us to not get distracted by the things of this world. And as I close this message, I want to bring you back to the 14th verse in this this book of Acts, chapter 1:14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. This could be a method on how we can continue to exercise and develop hope in situations that appear to be hopeless. It says here, these all continued. What he's saying is the disciples continued. Even though Jesus was caught up in a cloud, he left, he ascended back to the Father. Even though he had left again and went back to the Father, the disciples, the apostles all continued. Because they were looking up in the sky and the Lord right before their eyes was taken away. And then there was two men in white came to him and said, why are you looking up into the sky? Don't you know that he's going to return back in the same way that he left? It says here, these all continued. So they didn't stop because they could no longer see Jesus. Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good. I know sometimes situations may come up in your life and it appears that you can't see Jesus any longer. I don't know if there's a witness in the house that sometimes situations come up so hard that you can't even see the Lord. But it says here, these all continue. They continue to stay together. Ongoing activity, which means over and over again. Uninterrupted. Even though you may not see Jesus, you gotta believe that he's coming back.
Come on.
Even though the situation may become hard, you still gotta continue acting as if he is right here. In case you didn't know, he is right here. In case you didn't know, he is right here in the atmosphere.
That's right.
They all continue uninterrupted. Although the situation's going on, you can't stop.
Come on now.
The Bible says that anyone who puts their hand on the plow and looks back, they're not fit for the kingdom. I want to encourage you here on today to continue and not be interrupted by the circumstances that come your way. It continues here. It says here, I got another scripture for it. It says Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That means if you are called by God to be a disciple of him, you got to pick up your cross and continue to follow after him. What that means is, you know, back in those times, the cross was used to hold up a body. Are you with me still?
Amen.
This cross, I can imagine, was very heavy. The weight of the cross would make me want to give up. The weight of the cross would make me want to not pick it back up. But what God is saying here, if we are called disciples of the Lord, we must deny the privilege of giving up. We must deny ourselves the satisfaction of doing what we want to do. We got to continue to carry the heavy load. We got to continue to follow Him without being interrupted by the circumstances of life. We can't get weary in well-doing. We got to continue to press on, one foot in front of the other, walking by faith like Peter, and having hope that He is going to come back. And it says here, too, in that 14th verse, these all continued with one accord. Unity. They didn't go their separate ways. They didn't, after Jesus got ascended to heaven, they didn't scatter. They came together. One accord. In unity. I got some more scripture for you. It says, Psalms 133 and 1. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Very important for us that we stay together. We can't allow the prince of darkness to come in to set up stumbling blocks to cause us to be separated. We can't allow the circumstances of this world and our personality differences or our thoughts to get in the way to what God has called together. It says here in Ephesians 4 and 3, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We have to learn as believers to deny our flesh. When we nail ourselves to the cross, we crucify our flesh daily. And in doing so, that eliminates anything coming against the Spirit of God, which is in you through the Holy Spirit. Are you still with me? See, the Holy Spirit gives us the power and gives us fruit to exhibit patience, to exhibit self-control, to have these areas in our lives that may be foreign to us because we've been ruled and we have allowed our flesh to dictate how we act and respond. But it's our responsibility to be like these apostles, to keep hope alive by daily crucifying our flesh and allowing the Spirit of God to manifest itself in our lives so we can come together in a spirit of peace and unity. We get in the way of that by our own self and our thinkings. That's why He said, let this mind be also the mind that was in Christ Jesus. Only way this works, though, is you're able to recognize and see what areas that you need to yield yourself and crucify yourself to that cross. And it says here, these all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication. So they continue to be about their Father's business. They continue to gather together as a unified body of Christ. And they prayed. They intervened. They got personally involved with their communication with the Father. You see, you ever heard that phrase? A family that prays together, stays together. You see, when we come together and become personally involved in our lives, we will pray to the Lord to give us wisdom, to give us guidance, to give us direction. And in case you didn't know, the Lord's will is what? Perfect. And if we would just submit and communicate with Him together, won't He show us and lead us into a land flowing with milk and honey? Won't He continue to take us by our hands and show us the way? Because He is the way. He is the truth. And He is the life. If we would just follow the simple method that these apostles are teaching us here in the 14th verse of chapter 1 of the book of Acts, this could be a method to help us to keep hope alive Have you ever been by yourself and you allowed your own thinking to get in the way? Oh, just me, huh? I'm talking about being alone and allowing, I call it the committee, to speak to me. And I was having some outrageous thoughts. But when I share that with another believer, they're going to say, that thought was outrageous, guys. What's wrong with you? So that's why it's important for us to stay together and to pray. It says here also, supplication, to be gracious. In my prayer, in my supplication, I'm going to get personally involved. I'm going to be gracious with the people that I'm with. I'm going to show attributes of Christ so that when the situations come up in life, like COVID, I'll have a firm foundation to stand upon. I'll be able to withstand the winds and the storms of life. I may bend a little bit, but I won't be broken. I want to encourage you here on this blessed day. For the scripture says that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We rejoice. Why? Because this is the day that the Lord has made. And when we start to really understand that this situation that, and understand that we're just passing through this place, our destination and our home is to be with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Our destination is to be in glory with the Father. So don't be dismayed. Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit. Don't walk out on your faith in Jesus. Because this too is going to pass, believe it or not. And then because you went through it, and because you held on to the bloodstained banner that declares that Jesus still lives, you're going to be perfected. This thing is going to be used to make you shine and to look like gold. Just as long as you stay connected to the Lord, you don't let go of God's unchanging hand, and you keep on, keeping on, and keeping on having hope, looking forward. Because guess what? Jesus is coming back.
Yes, he is.
I know he left for a little while, and I know maybe you can't see him right now, but you got to believe that he is coming back. And he's coming back for those that will continue to believe, continue to exercise hope in him. He is coming back for those of us who declare that he is our Lord and Savior. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. If I could just stay there and keep my mind focused on that, we're going to be able to overcome whatever is thrown our way. So I pray on this morning that these words that the Lord has given me to share with you were fruitful. I pray this morning that the words the Lord gave me to share with you were able to encourage you to see it for what it is and to continue the pressing on to the high calling in Christ Jesus. Not to be moved by the circumstance, but to have power from God to move the circumstance by his word. So we thank God this morning.
Amen.
So as I close this, I have to ask, and I'm sorry, I do this every time, I gotta ask, because I never know, you never know. Is there anyone here that has not received the Lord Jesus Christ, who is looking to develop and to build a personal relationship with him? And there's no shame if that's you. There's no shame in acknowledging the fact that I'm in need of a Savior. So if that's you, I just want you to slip up your hand. Not to embarrass you, so that we can invite you in, so we can seal the deal, per se. Is there anyone here that has not received the Lord Jesus, who is looking to maybe receive him on today? And if that's you, you can just slip up your hand. I won't call you up. I won't embarrass you. Amen. So I'm assuming that the house is saved. Praise God. So we thank the Lord for the invitation to come and minister his word. And we pray that it would do what it was set out to do. We thank God. And we praise him.